is that whatsoever we ask in the name of Jesus, it shall be done. The Bible said, ask, and it shall be given. Seek, and ye shall find. And then he said, what? Come on, he said, what? I can't hear you. Help me say, knock, knock. And he said, it shall. Put your hands together, give God praise. Come on, give Him praise. Give Him praise. Understand how you feel, but choir, y'all not finished singing. Come on. Amen. Come on, choir. My. That's all. That's it. I need another soprano. Something done had it.
Praise the Lord. Good morning, good morning, good morning. The songwriter said, Jesus is on the main line. Tell him what you want. Let me be the first to tell you what I want this morning, Father. I want a fresh anointing. Hallelujah. Glory to your name. I want a fresh wind this morning, Father God. I want to be able to break every yoke that come my way. Good morning, good morning, good morning. I'm telling y'all this morning, that song got my engine roaring. I guess you hear I'm a little bit winded, but guess what? God is right on time. He is in the mix, so I am not worrying about my breath at this time. That's why I'm asking him, Lord, just send me a fresh wind, a fresh anointing on this morning, because I'm ready this morning for any and everything that's trying to come my way. I've already equipped myself, put on my full armor of God. I hope you've done the same thing, Africa. What about you, Canada? What about you, Fiji? Everybody that's under the sound of my voice, I'm telling you, get up this morning, start your day, know and thank God that he is the reason that we are awakened this morning. When I say awakened, you might have been last night been in a bed moaning and crying all morning, all night. But I can tell you right now, tell him that you need a healing. You may have been in a place of depression. Tell him what you need. You might need deliverance this morning. Tell him what you need. He is on the main line, and he is willing and ready to answer. All you need to do is ask. What did the songwriter say? The last thing, knock. I dare you to get up this morning and start knocking. I dare you to get up in the name of Jesus. It does not matter where you're at right now. Just know we are on one accord, and we are in the presence of our Father. As we start our Monday morning executive meeting, we come together with open minds, a new heart, ready to receive, ready to eat the daily manna that God has provided for us, ready to drink the living water. So we shall not, we must not, we will not thirst anymore. Are you ready? Are you ready? Good morning, Minister Chiquita. Come on and bring us in prayer.
Good morning, Evangelist, and good morning to you, Saints. Thank you again for tuning in with us and communing with us and fellowshipping with the Lord Jesus Christ himself. Once again, it's awesome to have you with us, and always awesome to have him here with us and his presence gracing us with such an awesome, loving presence. We thank you, God, once again for waking us up this morning, oh God. We thank you, God, for doing it, God, because that right there, Lord, is a true blessing in itself, oh God. We thank you, God, for the things that you're doing right now, God. You're going out right now, God, setting the playing field, God, up for us, oh God. Right now, God, in you having the protection around us, and God, you're giving us the endurance, oh God, to do so, oh God. We thank you, God, for the strength, God. We thank you, God, for all the things that you're pouring into us right now, God. We thank you, God, right now, God, as we continue to head forth, God, from this present point on, God, we shall walk with faith, God, and we shall walk not by our sight, oh God. We shall walk, God, with strength, oh God, and boldness in you, oh God. We thank you, God, for nevermore, God, because many are chosen, God, but many are called, yes, God, I'm corrected, God, many are called, God, but few are chosen. We thank you, God, for this, oh God, because right now, God, it's not a coincidence that we're here communing with you right now, God, because we are some of the chosen ones that are here, oh God. We thank you, God, for this gift, oh God. We thank you for the knowledge, God. We thank you for the things that you're doing right now, oh God. Continue to strengthen the men and women, oh God, that's bringing the word, that giving us the knowledge and is helping us to build ourselves up and building our life up and our spirit life up, oh God. We thank you for this, oh God. We thank you for them, oh God, and continue, God, to pour it to them. So it's helping us, oh God, to be enriched in you, oh God, to be enriched in life, oh God. It's truly needed, God. Thank you for the freshness, oh God. So we go forth in this week, oh God, with joy in our heart, God, love in our spirit, oh God, knowing that everything works out ahead of time, God, and you've done it, oh God, and we can do it with you too, God. We thank you, Jesus Christ, forevermore. It's in your name, God, and your loving presence, God. I forever love you. Hallelujah, Jesus Christ. Hallelujah, Lord. Hallelujah, God. It's in your name I pray. Amen. Amen.
Amen. Hallelujah. We just thank you this morning, Father God, for that prayer. We just say hallelujah wherever you're at right now. Just give God a hallelujah praise, because it is him and only him that has gotten you to the point where you're at. And we just cannot go without just continually praising the Lord. I'm telling you, on yesterday with our Mother's Day, and when Apostle came on, I had to let him know his hallelujah, his thank you, his just glorifying God. I felt it miles and miles, hundreds and miles away. And this is what God does. This is how he wants us to feel. He wants us to let him know that he is glorified through our situation. He wants us to know that we have to, no matter what. I'm not going to say have to. We're going to mandate it. He must be glorified. He must be called on. He must be trusted. And I'm just so thankful for him. And again, I would just like to sit and say, let me calm down, because I'm getting a little bit overexcited. But I'm going to tell y'all, that's what God do. When you know who he is and who you are to him, you get excited. You start wanting to run out in the street, start doing praise dances in the street, people looking at you crazy, but you look back over them at them like they crazy and say, you don't know. So this morning, without going, I just want to say yesterday was an awesome Mother's Day program. Salute to our First Lady, Lakeisha Spencer. And again, we just love her so much, and we thank God for all that she does. Even though she sometimes stay behind the scenes, just know that it's so much genuine love there that outflows, it overflows, it overtakes. And that's what God is about. On today, we want to talk about that, that you have been chosen. One of the strongest desires as a human being is to be loved. That is one of the strongest desires. People can sit and tell you that it's not. It is. Everybody wants to be loved. They want to be accepted, and they want to feel that they are belong. We want a sense of connection and belonging to something or someone. We definitely want to feel valued. We cannot be guaranteed of always getting what we want in our dealings with people, but we can. I'm telling you, I'm a living testimony, and I know Minister Chiquita is, and I know it's different people in Nigeria, South Africa, Fiji, Canada, Asia, wherever you at, you can testify that we can get it from God. Even though God knows everything about us, and I do mean everything, he still chooses us on purpose. According to Ephesians 1:4, he actually picked us out on purpose to be his very own and belong to him. At this point in time, I just want you all to do an exercise that I do. I just want you to confess, whether it's decree, declare, or just confess right now that I belong to God. But when you do it with a sincere heart, because as I previously said, God knows everything. We need to sometimes remind ourselves that we belong to God. We cannot sit and get into a place where we do not realize who we are and who he is to us. So I just want you all throughout the day and right now, in this second, just confess that I belong to God. One thing that I have learned, that God sets us apart for himself, and he made provisions in Jesus for us to be holy, blameless, and consecrated. We can live before him in love without reproach. What's the reproach? That means that we don't have to feel guilty and bad about all of our weaknesses and faults. Let's stop right there. We can sit and we can do something, and we'll do it and knowingly. I just want to have a real talk here. It ain't all about spirituality. It ain't all about naturality, being natural, but it's all about God. It's all about who God is. It's all about his love. And that's what we're talking about today, God's love, him choosing you. God already knew who we were. He already knew us in his mother's womb, in our mother's womb. God already knew some things because he knows everything, what we were going to do, when we were going to do it, and how we were going to do it. Whereas we go against his heart, and we may do it over and over and over. That's why it's so good to learn what true repentance is. But when we ask, he forgives us. If it was a shameful situation, a shameful act, it's forgiven. But we as a people, we sit and we hold on to our mistakes. We hold on to our faults instead of just allowing it to move on because God has allowed it to move on. We just continue to hold on. We continue to feel like our self-worth we have no more self-worth. That self-worth takes you down to having low esteem. That low esteem gets you to the point where you feel like, I just can't make it. I just can't go anymore. I just can't do this. Or when you may be in a place of affliction, and instead of you trusting and believing or asking God to do whatever he is going to do for you, bring whoever he's going to bring into place for you to fix your situation, we don't do that because we allow shame or we allow guilt to just beat us up over and over and over. But that's not who our God is. That's not who our God is. That's not what God is asking for us. And when you identify your weakness and your faults, you need to give them to the Lord. And I know this because I'm reminded of it. We pick stuff back up and forth. We pick it up. It's no surprise. It's no surprise to God what we have done, what we are going to do. But at the end of the day, he still chose us as a people. He still chose to love us. He still gave us hope. He still believe in us. He's still working in us because he knows the plan that he has for us. We are our number one enemy. It's not Satan. We are our number one enemy. When you sit and you wake up in the morning and you see God's creation, or you know that you have a situation or a circumstance that's way too big for you, but that impossible thing that was so big for you, it was possible for God. God worked that thing out. He worked it out. Why? Because you called on it. Because you asked. Because you sought. You sought after him. You knocked. You didn't, even in your shame, in your pain, in your disgrace, whatever it may be, in your weaknesses, whatever your weakness may be, you may be a person that unknowingly is a gossiper. You may be a klepto. You may be a porn watcher. You may be, but you have to sit. You have to ask God. We have to acknowledge it because, see, just as we spoke yesterday, God, when a Potiphar's son realized his mistakes and he came back with all humility, with a humble mindset, what happened? The father, our father, he didn't just stand there. He ran out to meet him. He ran out to meet him. He told the servants to get the best together because he was getting ready to, they was going to have a feast. And it's no different with you and I. We make mistakes. We fall down. But we have the ability to get back up. We fall short of our sins. We have the ability to ask for forgiveness. We have the ability to have a renewed mind. We can pray as David did and ask God to create in us a clean heart. We don't have to stay into a place of mess. But even if you are in a place of mess right now, just know that God loves you. He loves you. We forget about the love of God. We forget about how much and the sacrifices that God made for us to show us, to prove to us. He proved. He didn't have to prove. He could have wiped us out. He could have wiped us out. He is God all by himself. He does not have to prove anything to us. But he continuously, day after day, if you just paying attention, if you are paying attention, you will see day after day where there are changes that are being made in your life that only God, but God, there go that but God again, can do. But you and I have to get into a place where we recognize the love of God. And once we recognize it, we get into a place where we relax, we rest, and learn how to receive God's love, and we think about it, and we praise him, and we worship, and we sit back and watch the manifestation. But you have to be watching. You have to recognize it. You have to, identify it. A lot of people don't identify because they walk around with their head down, their shoulders locked over, feeling so low, but that's not who our God is. That's not who our God is. You falling in the arms of the diabolical forces. You falling in, you right where Satan and his imps want you to be. I encourage you today because you are ready, boldly stated, that I belong to God. So you need to start acting like you belong to God. When you make a mistake and you fall, get up. Wipe yourself off and get back up. See, let's go real about it. Most of the time when we fall, we sitting and as we pulling ourselves up, we sitting and we looking around to see who was looking. Who was looking, and then we worry about if they going to call Peter, Paul, Mary, and Sue and talk about our fall. But I'm going to tell you this. God sees everything. He knows everything. He saw you when you fell. He saw you when you fell. He was just sitting back trying to see what you was going to do when you fell. And most of us, we don't sit and say, thank you, Lord, I fell, please forgive me, whatever. You get on the phone, girl, I fell today, and this, and you start speaking over that situation, and you speak in death over the situation instead of using your authority and speaking life over it, because that's who God is. That's what God love does for us. His love put us in a place where we can find rest in the times of our storm, in the times of our trials and tribulations. Y'all know my three favorite, Meshach, Shadrach, and Abednego. They were in a burning fire, but they had rest in the presence of the Lord because they were chosen. Come on, Minister Chiquita, I know you got something that you can add to this subject this morning.
Yes, Evangelist. Myself had to come into a realization that I had to love God more than we got where we used to call our base. And when I met my husband, I told him, I'm like, I love God more than I love anything. And if that was going to be a problem, because in before and prior relationship, that was a problem. I was being sought as, looked out as being a weirdo, because all I did, I woke up 3-4 o'clock in the morning, I'm praising, I'm singing God's word. And he was like, when I told him, he was like, okay. And I was in acceptance, and I knew that, that he came, he was sent from God, because he too had God ahead of his life. So we had to get to a point in life that we are certain that God know that we are certain he's in our life. He's doing what he said he's going to do. We would, without a worried spirit, without a terror spirit, knowing that even if something happened, because things happen, we have to be able to, like apostles say, to adapt to change, because things are going to happen in your life. They're going to be grievances, but you're going to have to be able to roll with the punches and keep moving. So you have to know that God is working it out. God is ever present, that's in the midst of everything that's going on. So you have to lean to him, continue to stay in the presence of him, prayer and fasting, like the apostles say, like the Bible say, pray without cessation. The Bible says it. And it's something that you, it's not something that's hard. The hard thing is us getting out of our own way and putting past the things of our own self and accepting the call. Accepting the call, because we tend to try to find evidence. We tend to try to find the evidence, but there are invisible attributes, namely his internal power and divine nature, that has been clearly perceived ever since the creation of the world. And in these things have been made. So there are without excuse. There is without excuse. We have no excuse not to praise him, because he's already showed us over and over and over and over and over again how he has cleared things out from the Romans, from the Israel, through Africa, through Jamaica, through Korea, through China, everywhere. It's within that Bible. It's in there. He's cleared things out. He's fixed things. He's turned things around. He's brought manifestations. He's brought you into the presence of him. He's given you a clean heart. He's cleaned your slate. He's broken out some chains. But we, in the midst of our own stinking thinking, we got to clear these things out. We can't keep going back and forth with God. We can't keep laying down and getting back up. We got to stay up. We can fall down. That's fine. Get back up. Get back up. It's not fine to keep on doing it over and over again. You keep on bumping your head when you know better. Once you come into the true recognition of God and recognizing what it is in your life that he's in your life, you cannot continue to keep going back and forth, because you continue to walk out of alignment. You're getting out of alignment of what God has for you in your presence. When you know better, you will start because a chaos and damnation in your life. You don't want that. So you stay into the presence of God. This is not something that I just read in the Bible. This is something that I've lived in life. I know better. I was raised in the church. I decided to leave under the presence of God. It didn't have nothing to do with what the church was doing, regardless of what they had going on, even though it was a lot of mess there. Not here at ADM. I came into the presence of true church. what they call church. I came into the true presence of church and knew what true men and women of God looked like. I knew being that I had to turn it around and get back up and fix it and stay here because my life needs to be blessed. I'm playing catch up. You don't want to play catch up in the spirit. You got to keep moving because every time you stop, pause, and want to lay it down on the wayside, you're putting your spiritual life in danger. You're putting your physical life and your mental life in danger. And it's not something you want to do. You want to stay in the presence of God. You don't want to let give the enemy nothing, not a crack, not a seam. You want to fill it up with silly putty. You don't want him to get anywhere, nothing that he can stick in and get in at. So in order for that to happen, you have to stay within the Lord. You have to clear yourself up with God. You have to praise him no matter what. When things are going on, you seek his face. You say, hey, Jesus Christ. Lord, thank you, Lord. I praise you. This is that's all you can say out your mouth in the midst of everything that's going on. I don't care what fighting, argument, chaotic thing that's going on. If you can just call on his name, I promise you it's cleared it out. I don't see it happen. Within the last 2 weeks, I called on his holy name, and I made a whole scene of people clear out trying to fight and act silly. But God, his name alone moved the crowd. We got to get in the presence of knowing that he's going to fix it. We cannot try to do it our own self. We got to stay into the presence of God. We got to get out of our own way and let him do his job. And when he tell us to move, we move. Listen to his ear, humble ourselves so we can receive the gifts that he's had for us because we have to move over into a higher state of being, of living mentally, physically, and spiritually. That's the blessed life that God wants for you. Back to you, Evangelist.
Amen. And other things we need to do in the time of adversity, we must remain calm, cool, and collected. You got to stay into a steady place in the face of the challenges. We have to also learn how to be the importance of being adaptable, adapt to certain things. But the main thing is keeping our eyes on him. And not focusing on your own plans, not focusing on your own situation, not focusing on, but knowing that God is God all by himself. If things don't work out the way that we want them to work out, we still need to trust God. We still need to be in that place, in that secret place that he talks about in Psalms 91:1. It tells us he who dwells in the secret place of the Most High shall remain stable and fixed under the shadow of the Almighty God, whose power that no foe, no adversity, nobody can come and bother you. You are in a place of safety. And while you are in that place of safety, see, a lot of us take the word rest or we take the word wait and we think we're supposed to just lay there and not do anything. I beg to differ. When you resting in the presence of the Lord or either you're waiting or relaxing, whatever word you want to, God is giving you time to still fix on yourself. God is giving you time to be a servant to other people. You still need to be doing something. You don't just lay there and rest and just fall out and say, okay, God, do it all for me. Because guess what? He didn't do it all for Jesus. Jesus had to come and come down in the form of flesh and go through every single thing that he went through things before you and I went through them. And he comforted them. Even though he comforted at death, he still rose. Hallelujah. But at the same token, when he's telling us to, when you are resting, you just need to be stable. You need to have built the foundation that you're not going to allow anyone to come in and break down. But while you are behind that foundation, you're still doing work for God. You're still doing work for yourself. We're not going to sit and stay into the same place, the same mindset, the same state. You know, if you got a mindset of ungratefulness, you in a place of rest, do you think that that's showing God's love? No, it's not. You have to still remain motivated. When he's saying in the rested or whatever, that means you are trusting him. You are trusting him to handle that situation. You are trusting him to do what he says that he can do. He is God. It is nothing impossible for him. He is our Father. He makes our, he gives us our daily provision. He provides for us. He is our nurturer. He is the God that is a forgiver. He is the God that is a healer. He is the God that is a deliverer. But what are you doing? What are you saying? So I'm sitting and saying to you all today, this is how much God loves us. Yes, we go through hard times. Jesus went through hard times. We have to pick up our cross every day. Every day we're going to go through something, but it's so, if you believe the word, no weapon formed against me shall prosper. You may be in a place that you are heavy laden. You are at your lowest point. But when you call on the name, if you call, if you trust, if you believe, but you have to have a knowing. Look in the Bible. Go through the Bible. Start reading the Bible and see every book of the Bible. You're going to see some type of adversity. You're going to sit and see. But the thing of it is, who is right there? Who is right there? He's right there to give you the answer. He's right there to wipe away your tears. He's right there to move to get the shame up off of you. You don't have to live like that, because that's not God's plan for us. That is not his plan. His plan is not for us to stay into a same old a reprobated mindset. A mindset that I can't change, a person that's sitting and saying, oh, people always saying I can do all things through Christ who strengthened me. I can't do nothing. I can't get this right. I can't get, why can't you get it right? Why? Because you leaning on your own understanding and refusing to trust in the Lord. We go through some situations. We go through some things. We must sit and say, we must be honest about the situation. But the question is that, what are you going to do? Are you going to stay in the same mindset? Or are you going to pick up your cross and sit and say, even though I'm in a phase that I know that I need your help, I'm still going to be a servant. I'm still going to help this. I'm still going to change this. I'm not just going to lay here. I'm not going to stay in my shame. I'm not going to waddle in my sin. But I'm going to pick myself up, Father, because I am a living sacrifice to you, Lord Jesus. And everything that I say, everything I do is for your glorification. Or are you going to be a defeated foe? Let me tell you all this. God loves me so much that he gives me chance after chance. But then you get to the point when you really realize who he is and all that he has brought you through, that you get to the point you may have that you feel some type of way when you really sit and see all your foolishness and how you just keep taking him for granted or keep taking all his love, his mercy, his grace for granted. And when that pierces your heart or that sting or somebody, it feel like somebody just come and knock you out. And when you get up and you come to your senses, you realize, yeah, God loves me. He brought me through this. He healed me through this. He saved me through that. He hid me behind his feathers during this time. God loves us. He loves us unconditionally, and he chose us. He chose us as a people. The same way we people are walking around and we can see the beauty of God. We can eat the fruit of his land. We can labor for him. We can be servants for other people. He could have picked a whole other species. But what did he do? But God. So I sit and say to you all today, understand your position. Understand who you are in the Lord. Understand what God is to you. And if you don't know, you better ask somebody. Ask somebody that's not afraid to give you their testimony. Ask somebody that could sit and tell you that they was in a garbage can and God brought them out. He cleaned them up. He changed their clothing. He changed their mouth, the way they speak. He did different things. Where they was at rags, they may be at riches now. But you got to find somebody that's not ashamed to tell you where they came from. Because at the end of the day, the same way I started this message, God knows everything. He knows everything about us. And you and I have to be willing to understand and know that. You and I need to see, we sometimes get caught even in our mess trying to help other people when we're not in a place yet to even help ourselves, because we are part-time. We are part-time lovers of God. We're not wholehearted lovers of God. We're not in a place to sit and say, I come to you, I surrender all. We may surrender 97% and the 3% is still there to do what you want to do and sit and take advantage of God. And when, once you do what you want to do, you go back and say, Father, forgive me. I know what I have done. Please forgive me. You get into that place. And I'm going to tell y'all a testimony. I used to just literally feel like I was just stop breathing in the middle of the night when I was in my mess. And every time it felt like I was just stop breathing, I would just jerk up. And the first thing I would sit and say, Father, please forgive me of my sins, knowing and unknowing. Please forgive me being a hypocrite, sitting and calling on him, but then the next day still doing the same thing. The other night, I had the same situation take place. You know what? I sat up and said, Father, I trust you. I trust you, Lord. I trust you. That's what I said to him. So you know what that meant to me? Whichever way it went, I had a Meshach, Shadrach, and Abednego moment. Whichever way it went, Lord, I'm going to trust you. I'm going to trust you. I didn't have to sit and continue to go. But see, I had to be straightened. I had to be straightened. Sometimes God got to put that rod of correction on you. He got to put that rod on you and keep you in a fine tune. You know, I was talking to Apostle one time before, and I was talking about my asthma, and he said, have you ever thought that that may be your thorn in the side to keep you in a place of discipline, to keep you in a place of correction? Have you ever thought about that? Have you ever thought that? And see, I never thought about that. But when it came to me, I knew that it was of God. I knew that an answer had been, a question that I had asked God had been answered. I knew, although I may have asked him years ago when he was ready for me to hear and know and to receive it, but for me to be in a place of receiving it, I applied it. But so with that being said, when I woke up in the middle of the night, couldn't catch my breath, and I said, I trust you or whatnot. Yes, I got on my asthma machine, but the first words that came out of my mouth was, I trust you, because even if I wouldn't have had enough breath in my body to get to that asthma machine, I trusted God. I trusted him. I didn't have to go back and say the saying that I put in my mind to say over and over and over and over again. I had a new tongue. I had a new way of speaking. I was able to tell him, Father, I trust you. And I guess what? I didn't even have to get on the machine. I didn't have to get on the machine. I just merely had to sit up in the bed and tell him, I trust you. And from there, because it was in the wee hours of the morning, I went into such a beautiful praise and worship that I didn't want to come out of it. I did not want to come out of it. I was so relaxed in the presence of the Lord, just thanking him, singing to him, dancing to him. I know how David felt when he danced out of his clothes, because when you get, when the manifestation comes before you, that God loves you so much that you can depend on him no matter what your circumstances, no matter what your situation is. You want to dance. You want to shout. You want to give God all the glory. You just want to thank him. You want to thank him over and over and over again. Come on back in here, Minister Chiquita. I know you got something else to add.
Yes, a thankful heart of the love that God has poured into my life is something I tell you to keep in the center of my heart, because without God, I wouldn't be where I'm at right now. And it's only God that's been holding me and keeping me where I'm at. God has, like Evangelist has said, given me time and time, chance and chance over and over again to get it right. But he'll do that when it get to a point. He spoke to me. He said, now, daughter, it's time for you to get it right. I need you to listen to me. Every time, the first time, and he broke it down what he meant by that. He said, I need you to hear what I said the first time, get it, so you won't have to, I won't have to say it, you have to go back over it again. You are stagnating yourself. You are blocking you. And nothing else, no devil, no nothing, nobody else, is you blocking you from me, from your blessings, from the eternal peace, your eternal joy, is you. God gave me the love and the endurance and the strength and the vitality and the mindset to right now that if I don't have God in my life, I see where it was, the lack was. I see where it was, and I see why it was there, because I was not working in the realm with God. I was working on my own prayer. I was working on my own stuff. I wasn't even, I don't know what I was doing. I was a hot mess. But God saved me. He loved me enough to save me. He didn't want you to be no mess. He didn't want me to be no mess. He don't want nobody to be no mess. But he wants you to walk into him. He wants you to love him. He wants you to get a presence with him, a relationship with him so strong that can't nobody break it. Not even you won't break it. You won't let nothing come between it. Nobody come between it. Yourself, your dog, your mama, your cat, a rat, nothing, nobody, a snake, or nothing can get between you and God. And that's what he wants you to be, in that presence with him. That's the true, 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 true. You walk into a true, 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 true knowledge of God then. That true relationship with him, his loving presence. Back to you, Evangelist.
Amen. Before we leave, I want to say this. Go back into the Bible. Moses asked God, this is in the Exodus 33. Moses asked God to show him his way, so he could get to know him better. The Lord answered by assuring Moses that his presence would be with him and that he would give him rest. And that's what I'm talking about. When we can get the assurance, God has given us the assurance. God didn't have to save us. We're sinners. He didn't have to save us. One thing, the same thing as Moses needed, is the same thing that we need when we are in our difficult times, and that's the presence of the Lord. Knowing that you are in the presence of the Lord and you are resting, you're resting. Knowing that God knows the plans that he has for us. We may not know them. He may have showed you in a prophecy. You and I may not know them. This is why it's so important for us to trust him and remain in his presence, knowing that the Holy Spirit, glory be to God, the Holy Spirit will lead us and guide us. The Holy Spirit will take us step by step where we need to be. The Holy Spirit will not, God, the scripture says that God will never leave us nor forsake us. But regardless, we cannot sit and get caught up on our plans. We got to be in his presence to remain and to get from point A to point B to the plans that he has for us. And that's how it was designed for Moses. This is why God went before him in pillars and fire. He wanted them to know that his presence is with us. His presence is with us now. The Holy Spirit, as you abide in me, as God abides in us, we are learning to know him. We are learning to understand what he means by rest. We are learning to know the power of his love. We are learning to know that we are protected. We fall out of protection when we come out of his will, when we're no longer in his presence. And then we have to scurry. We have to get back up. We have a web of confusion. You get into a maze. You start going all over the place. Confusion is everywhere because you're no longer. He's no longer in your presence because you chose to jump out of the presence of the Lord. Just like the illustration is there with the Israelites. They chose. God had already made a plan for them. God hadn't showed them, let's really talk about it. He hadn't showed them miracle signs and wonders. He parted the Red Sea. He parted the Red Sea. You and I can't part the Red Sea. He parted it. He hadn't already showed them how much I love you. He shows us. You and I have had some situations in our life that you can only sit and say, it's nothing but the love of God that has me here. Nothing but the love of God that saved me. Nothing but the love of God that healed me. Whatever it is, we can sing the same song over and over as I play the violin. But the question is, when are you going to identify it and apply what God has for you? When are you going to identify the love that God has for you? So when you identify, you don't have no problem with shouting. You don't have no problem with praising and worship. You don't have no problems with putting people in their place when they coming at you incorrect or they coming where they are taking you out. And see, people will purposely see you someplace and come and try to take you out of it. That's why it's so important to stay steadfast, immovable in the presence of the Lord. Be anchored in his presence. And that love is what should hold you there. Just the thought of what Jesus, our Lord and our Savior, did for us should make us. Just the fact that there have been times when you didn't have no food in your cupboard, but God made a way. It may be times when you may have had a penny in your pocket and a stranger has came up and made a provision for you. There may be times when you didn't have no clothes to put on your body, but a provision was made. That's love. There have been times when you didn't did so much wrong, so much conniving, so much manipulation, so much lying, but God. His love never fails. His love never fails. I'm going to say it again. His love never fails. You and I be detached from him. But I'm going to decree and declare on today that you and I will continue. If you have not today, I say it, Oshaya, reach your hands out right now to the Lord and say, Father, I want to hold on to your unchanging hands, Lord. No matter what my circumstances, no matter what my situation is, no matter I cannot do it by myself, but I realize that I can be a conqueror. All I need to do is set myself in motion. All I need to do is rest in your presence, but still be working on myself. All I need to do while resting in your presence, be consecrating myself, fasting and praying, praying and worship, just calling on your on the name of Jesus, if that's all that you can do. I don't know what your circumstances is. I don't know what your situation is. You may be a person that's laying flat on your back, but that, guess what? You still got a voice. You still got a voice, so you call on the name of Jesus, and you start letting God know how much you need him, how much you trust him, how much you believe in him, that you have faith, that he can have you rise. We know that he raised Lazarus from the dead. Just as he did before, he can do again. We know in Isaiah, he had Isaiah to prophesy to the dry bones, and the bones came together and filled up as an army. I don't know who I'm talking to this morning, but I'm sitting and telling you, understand that God chose you. Understand that God loves you unconditionally, and his love never fails. Understand on today that you will make a conscious decision that I will identify the love of God. And I will realize that it is power in his love. I will realize that the blood that he shed on Calvary for me will keep me going. It will keep me, it keeps flowing through my veins. It keeps flowing through the vessel. Sometimes it may be a blockage there, but you have the authority to sit and tell that blockage to get out of the way. Why? Because God loves you. Why? God does not want us to be defeated, foes. God does not want us to be on the outside looking in. He wants us to be in the presence of him, understanding, enjoying the different things that he has planned for you. It is not meant for us to be in a place of just living a torment, of living in places and you see others. Those that you see, that God is doing some miraculous things for. He's raising them up. He's doing different things because they have adapted to his love. They have realized that he chose them. They have realized that I must surrender all, that I must not lean on my own understanding, but I will trust the Lord. They got to change a mindset. The words start changing in their life. You know, you got to get into that. You got to start changing your words. You got to start speaking things correctly, how you want God to hear. Because if you go in there with a but, and, if, or whatever, you put an excuse in there, then maybe that's what you're going to get. But if you go in there with boldness, I think it's 1 Corinthians 16:13 tell you to be bold, to be courageous, be bold, be courageous, do everything, stand firm in your faith, do everything with love. That's what God's looking for. He's looking for us to realize that he loves us enough that he chose us, and we will be bold. We will be courageous. Our faith will continuously grow day in and day out. When our circumstances come into play, we will be steadfast and unmovable. We will not look at the situation, but we will keep our eyes on God and know that, Father, this is way too big for me. I need you to help me. Don't be too proud to call on God, and that's where I'm going to leave you at today. Think about that. Think about it. We get in so much mess, and we show people our mess. And then when we too ashamed to sit and say, well, child, I can't take care of this myself. I got to go, and I got to call on the name of Jesus. I got to surrender all. I have to realize that he is my lordship, that I need to be saved. I need to be under the salvation of the Lord. I need to be a part of that. Because you didn't say it and you didn't do it so much. Let it go. Let it go. You let it go and let God in. Let God in. Let his love come in. I promise you on this day, May 10th, 2021, you will see a difference. You will see what God, you will see what God will come in, and that hardened heart will be changed. It can be changed instantly if that's what you want, if that's what you want. ABM loves you, but just understand that God loves you most. He loves us. He loves us, over everybody over this airway. He loves us. He loves us. Take time now to write down and just write down all the things that you can sit and say to prove that God loves you, because some people need things. Some people need proof. Just do it. The members of ABM, do not forget about our 8 p.m. meeting tonight with the apostle. Everybody else that's under the sound of my voice, we love you. God loves you most. He truly does love you. We will see you back tomorrow morning at 7 a.m. Have a glorious day in the Lord. And just know, stay in his presence. Just know that he's with you, and you don't have to travel alone. You don't have to go through your circumstance or your situation alone. Just trust him. Get behind that shelter, because he is your refuge. He is. He loves us so much that he is our refuge. So we leave you on today. We say peace, love, and happiness, all in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Have a great day.